Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians. I've titled this study, Serve in Unity. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 40, the special union of marriage. The picture of marriage in the mind of Jesus Christ, it was the Lord's idea. It needs genuine love. It's designed to last. And it is a special union. Scripture should mold our image of marriage. Let me give you four steps here for right at the beginning here in the foundation of a marriage union. First of all, marriage is leaving and joining. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That the image there of joining, a good image of that would be the making of plywood. Plies of wood, thin plies of wood and glue are put together with great pressure and a lot of heat that results in a permanent bond. And that kind of a bond, of course, greater than that spiritually, but that kind of a bond. It's a joining. So marriage is leaving and joining. Second, marriage is covenanting. Malachi chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. So marriage is covenanting. And third, marriage is vowing. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Exchanging vows before guests and God is a routine part of the marriage ritual. So marriage is leaving and joining. Marriage is covenanting. Marriage is vowing. And fourth, marriage is a spiritual union. Mark chapter 10, verse 9. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. This is the picture of marriage in the mind of Christ. In chapter 7 of his first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul focused on four aspects of the marriage union. First, the marriage union is a monogamous relationship. Verses 1 through 9. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, For I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God. One in this manner, and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Remember verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The word power means mastered. The price of abusing freedom, abusing grace is high. Sin always has a consequence. No sin is more enslaving than sexual sin. And anyone can easily become addicted to sinful sexual behavior. I'm repeating from one of the last sessions, because this plays into the marriage relationship. Second, the marriage union is a binding relationship. Verses 10 through 16. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Paul used an analogy of Third, the marriage union is a difficult relationship. Verse 17, down to verse 38. But first, verses 17 to 24 are an interlude that have some counsel. We need to take a look at that section and consider the content of that section. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. In the rest of the passage, it seems that Paul is opposed to the marriage union. He's not. But instead is targeting two groups. The divorced and the widowed. Not remarrying after divorce helps avoid some built-in difficulties. There are cultural pressures. Verse 25, down to verse 27. The present distress. Now concerning virgins. I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give commandment as one whom the Lord in His mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose therefore that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. So there's cultural pressures. There's also unrealistic ideals. Verse 28. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. And then, there's so little time. Verse 29. This I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they weep, as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use the world is not misusing it, for the form of the world is passing away. So he says that there's cultural pressures. There's unrealistic ideals. There's so little time. And there are preoccupations. Verse 32, he said, I want you without care. I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he's behaving improperly toward this virgin, if she has passed the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. Remarrying is okay, but not remarrying avoids problems. Instead, the apostle encourages those divorced to focus on serving the Lord wholeheartedly. And then fourth, the marriage union is a common relationship in Christ. Verses 39 and 40. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whomever she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I have the Spirit of God. Believers should marry believers. The reality of stress-filled marriages argues this point. Same spirit versus different spirits. And don't miss those words, only in the Lord, that Paul wrote in verse 39. They are the key to this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, again, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? If you plan to marry or you are married, give much thought to these four words about marriage. Exclusive, binding, difficult, and Christian. To marry or not to marry? That is the question. You have a great day.